Hello and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. So today we're talking all about portfolios. And I'm sharing my tips and tricks for brand new UX designers and for more experienced UX designers to help your portfolio stand out. Now, when I originally recorded this episode, it was before we were launching UX Portfolio PowerPlay. So right now we're in cohort 5. And so the only way to get involved in UX Portfolio PowerPlay right now is to get on the waitlist. So you can get on the waitlist at uxhustle.org/UXPPP. But since the original recording of this episode, I've also come out with a course, a portfolio course for new UX designers that really is so much more than just a course or just a portfolio course. It's all about how to land your first role in UX. And so it's called Land Your First UX Role. And you can learn more information about it and sign up to get immediate access to the first module at uxhustle.org/firstUX, all the way spelled out. So uxhustle.org/FIRSTUX to get more information about that 3-week course. Otherwise, I hope you enjoy this episode and it gives you enough tools to start improving your portfolio throughout the week. Hello and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Worthington. The goal of UX Hustle is to help UX designers design the career they love, maximizing the benefit of this multifaceted industry and strong community. We talk about what's really going on in UX and what it's like working in it, and interview people that are actively navigating their careers and UX. We don't expect to have all the answers, but we do keep searching, keep listening, and learning. Because at the end of the day, you are the user of your career. Hello, and welcome back to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Worthington. And today I wanted to talk about UX portfolios. Dun, dun, dun. So I put out a few weeks ago, I sent out a tweet, I sent out emails, I connected with General Assembly and they sent out some information to have 15-minute portfolio reviews with new UX designers. And over the last, I'm in the middle of 6 weeks of those calls. And so I have 30 portfolio reviews on my calendar right now. I've gone through 10 so far, and I have 20 more to go through the first week of February. But I wanted to share some of the things that I've learned with you because y'all are my people. And so if you're a new UX designer, this is definitely for you, but the first part is for you. But I am going to talk about what I've learned for experienced designers as well, because what's super cool, just some things that came out of this. So from doing these portfolio reviews, it's really helped me with my brand messaging, to be honest, of like who I am, who UX Hustle is, and you know what my vision is. And so that's been really helpful, especially because as I mentioned in the last solo episode, I've been working with Alex Street on my brand story. And I just like sharing that with you because I think it's important to know the ins and outs of what's going on over here. And this is our little circle of the podcast, audio, wave, internet. So that was super awesome for me just to see and to experience, to go through that 10 times with 10 different people. The other thing that I was surprised to learn was it really helped me clarify the difference between a portfolio for brand new UX designers and a portfolio for experienced UX designers. And that's not a bad thing. I think that the goals for those two portfolios is very different. For a new UX designer, you don't have as much experience, and that's okay. You want to showcase the experience that you do have and show that you can do it, that you have done it, that you're passionate about it, but also you want to show these other areas of yourself that we'll get into. For an experienced UX designer, there's a couple different patterns I see. you have a ton of case studies and you don't know which ones to highlight, or you have a lot of experience or a lot of activities that you're doing, whether that's maybe you have a podcast. And if you do, like, email me at amanda@uxhustle.org and let's collab. Maybe you write articles on Medium or on another platform. Maybe you read a lot of books and articles. Maybe you host events, you host meetups, all kinds of other things. Maybe you're really passionate about a certain methodology or different kinds of methodologies. And so there's a lot going on, and it can be really overwhelming to try and figure out how to showcase all of that and showcase it in a way that isn't overwhelming, that also positions you as an expert. So those are the differences that I've seen just from this experience. Now, I will preface this to say that the 10 designers that I've met with have all been through boot camps. So that's a common theme with the designers that I've met with so far. So yeah, so let's dive in. Here's what I found for new UX designers and their portfolios. I found that it's all about the case study. I really have to hunt or use my imagination to know how someone got into UX design, what their previous experience was, and maybe how it ties into UX, and or how it got them into UX design, and like what the strengths were, what the experience that they got out of what they did before, how it helps them as a UX designer, and why they got into UX design in the first place. What brought them in? What are they passionate about? Because I think that each one of us gets into UX for different reasons. For some people, it's the problem-solving element. For others, it's the creative visual side. For others, it's, you know, the helping humans and helping humans use products and accessibility and inclusivity. And so there's a lot of different reasons to get into UX, and I want to know yours. I think that's an important part of your story, and I'd love to see that in your case study. And it was really hard for me to find what their career goals and interests are. Okay, so you went through this bootcamp, you did these different projects, and that's awesome. I don't want to discount that. And I want to know where you're going with this. What kind of roles are you looking for? Where do you see your career going? And whether that's shown in your case study or in the types of work that you put into your case study or the way you talk about your past experience or something else, you know, there are other ways to show what you're interested in that we don't usually include in case studies. Events that you're going to. Are you taking an online class outside of your boot camp on a specific method or a specific way of looking at UX? What articles or books are you reading? Like, that'll all give me a better picture of what you're really passionate about, what you're interested in, where your interests are heading, and show me how passionate you are about UX design. Also, I just want to preface, like I said, I talked to 10 designers so far. I've seen other portfolios too. If you're listening and you talk to me over the last 2 weeks and you're like, oh, Amanda's calling me out. No, I'm not. Because if you feel that way, let me just reassure you, you weren't the only person in any of this. And also, I'm not thinking of any one specific case study or portfolio when I'm talking about this. This is really a aggregation of the experience that I had from looking at these 10 portfolios. So just keep that in mind. Then case studies that show the process, but not the results. It's great knowing that you went through the process, that you did discovery, define, ideate, and deliver. That's great. That's annoying that ideate doesn't start with a D. I feel like there's another word. But that's great that you went through that process. But I want to know how you used that process to learn iterate, and ultimately create a product that makes sense for your user and solves a problem. Instead of focusing on checking off all the boxes, whether that's the different steps, the process itself, or even like the methodologies that you used and showcasing that, what's the story that you want to tell? What happened on this project and how do you demonstrate it? How do you show what happened through the UX process? But it's really about what happened, what was the problem, what was the solution, what was the goal, and how did you achieve it? But also, like, what did you get the most out of by using the UX process? Whether that was, and the example I use a lot is, you know, we felt great, we used our research, and it informed our persona, and our persona informed, you know, our feature prioritization, and then that informed, you know, the screens that we designed, and we felt awesome going into usability testing. But then we found, like, we totally were focused on this one area of the application that we didn't see this whole other side of the application that we hadn't even considered. And it was through usability testing that we were able to see that. Like, that's a great story, right? That shows the power of going through the process and what it means to go through the process. For other people, it's, you know, you can do the same thing with research. You can do the same thing with ideating and iterating and all of it. But for every project, there's something. And then case studies are linear, but not sequential. And I don't even know if that makes sense, to be honest, but it made sense in my head. The timeline of events shows that you went through the process, and that's great. But I need to know what information is valuable from each step in that process, and what should I focus on in each step, and how it ties into the step, the next step, and the project overall. So each section's output should be the input for the next section. And that it's okay to not have every single thing in your case study. What I tell people is it's okay to have a big, long, everything in the kitchen sink version of your case study, just so that you have it, just so you have a starting place and you know where everything is and it's laid flat for you. That can be really helpful for people. And then save that as an appendix. And now look at that project and say, what is the one like thing that really happened in this project? And how do I build a story around that based on what actually happened, based on the artifacts that I have, and give people the information that they need to reach that turning point and follow and track with how the project actually went. And then the final thing I saw was small visuals and real assets from the project in the case study. While that information is helpful for the design and construction of the prototype and, you know, you as a design team, they might not be the best way to showcase the value that you're sharing in a case study. When I'm looking at a case study, I need you to draw my attention where it needs to go and tell me what information I should be paying attention to. And that it's not too many things, so that I can retain that information, again, to lead me to the next step, so that I know what the big rocks are in your case study and in this project, so that you know that I'm following. And I encourage designers to experiment with different charts, graphs, ways of organizing and positioning your images so that you're making the most of them and my attention. So to me, that's things like using percentages and but calling out what exactly it is that you want me to pay attention to even just block having a square and an arrow pointing at the different areas of an interface that you want me to pay attention to and why. Organizing the information in a way that makes sense so that I can, and that's not great advice. Saying that so that it makes sense, I know, is not helpful. Organizing the information so that it's as easy as possible for me to retain that information and understand your thought process and the way you were thinking about that information and the conclusion that you came to. So hopefully that's helpful for any new UX designers. I know that your portfolio can feel like such a stressful thing and like a daunting and overwhelming thing. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Having the project, making sure you have all the assets that you need, and then organizing this case study in a way that it feels like people are all asking for different things. And so I just want you to know that I understand and encourage you that a portfolio and a case study are still a small part of the overall job search. And also, they're not you. I think that's important to remember. Of our portfolios and our case studies, our challenge is trying to showcase and position ourselves in a certain way and position our work in a certain way. And that it doesn't devalue you as a human being, you as a designer, your work as design work. No matter what, to me, the whole point of this UX process, this UX experience, this UX career is we're all iterating, we're all learning, we're all taking that first step, learning from it, and continuing to build on it. And you're on that journey. So congratulations. If you need help, please feel free to email me at amanda@uxhustle.org. Just let me know what you need help with. Let me know where you're at in your UX career, and I'm happy to help. Now, for our experienced UX designers. So I've worked with experienced UX designers stepping into leadership on their portfolios through UX Portfolio Power Play, and here's what I found. And these are really questions that people ask me or ask themselves. I have tons of case studies now. Now that I've been in the workforce for a while, I have a ton of case studies. How do I showcase the work? How do I choose which ones to focus on? Help. And I respond to questions with questions at this point for experienced UX designers. What does a case study mean to you? Is it a project? Is it an example of a type of work that you do? Of a methodology that you've used, and then you have examples of, you know, that specific work in real life? Are there certain industries you know you want to work in or roles you want to have going forward? Let's focus on those. What are the kinds of work that support your work in those industries or the roles that you want to have going forward? The second question I get is, how do I position myself as a leader so that I can land that next role or promotion? Again, I'm going to ask you more questions. In what way are you or do you want to be a leader? Because leadership means different things to different people, especially in the context of our careers and especially in UX. And then what evidence would support that, would help you look at those things, whatever those things are, and would say to you and remind yourself that you are a leader. Is it events you host or have spoken at, articles you've written, maybe books and articles that you've read, events or meetups that you've attended, people you've mentored? And then for a case study, what would a leader's case study look like? Is it more outcomes-based? Is it team-based, client relationship-focused if you're at an agency? And then how do you communicate and share those things? Share those things that mean leadership to you? And then how would you explain and teach this to someone that's in the same position that you are in for those projects, whatever a case study means for you, so that they would learn from what you did? Like, I think of my friend Michelle, who is a speaker at UX Hustle Summit, who in a few minutes I'm getting on Zoom to do our podcast episode with. And the way that she thinks about things and the way that she approaches problems and the way that she communicates with clients is so helpful that I would love. I mean, a great example is her talk from UX Hustle Summit of sharing her experience from owning and managing and running her co-working space and all of the experience from that. And her talk, which she turned into an article, a Medium article, it helps someone else in that same position and actually relates beyond that. It related to us, those of us who are at UX Hustle Summit. And so how can you use those experiences and explain and teach the lessons learned and the process that you used so that they can pick up that process and start using it themselves? And then finally, a question I get is, I really don't want just any job right now. I want the right job. But how do I figure out what that means for me? Well, that is exactly what we spend the first 2 weeks doing in UX Portfolio Power Play. Even if you think you're super clear, and you might be, you're going to get super duper clear in UX Portfolio Power Play. Loosely, here's how you figure it out. And again, we focus 2 full weeks on this in UX Portfolio Power Play. And week 3, 4, 5, 6 are all focused on the other stuff of actually making and designing and organizing your portfolio to answer those other two questions. So loosely, here's how you figure it out. What are your strengths? What are you most passionate about? What makes you angry? What makes you angry? What lights you up when you're doing it? And look at your past roles to find evidence for yourself of when, of times when you had that. Then what does your ideal day look like? And when you think of some aspects of that ideal day, how can you start making that happen right now? What are some things that you can start bringing into your day-to-day right now? And finally, what are your career non-negotiables? What's really important to you for this next role that you don't want to mess around on? That can be salary, PTO, that can be the type of manager you want, that can be the type of role that you want, the industry, the kind of work that you want to be doing. Write them down. And so those are my insights so far. I'm sure I'm going to have more in the next couple of weeks after I go through those 20 additional portfolio reviews. So if any of this resonated with you, I want to encourage you to take a look at UX Portfolio Power Play. UX Portfolio Power Play is my 6-week group coaching program specifically for experienced UX designers looking to step into leadership. And not just leadership, but getting clear on the trajectory of their careers of, I want to step in to a new role, whether that's a new role at a new company or a new role as a leader in my own life and in my own career. And I need a portfolio to do that, or I want to use a portfolio to facilitate that. And I don't just want a cookie cutter website. I don't want a cookie cutter portfolio. I want something that's uniquely me and stands out. Then UX Portfolio is for you. We have pre-sale coming up at the time of this recording in the middle of January. And then we do have open cart 2nd week of February, I believe. And it starts February 12th. So you can get on the waitlist or get more information at uxhustle.org/UXPPP, depending on when you're listening. Now, if you're in that first boat of a new UX designer looking for your first UX role, I have a brand new thing for you. I am taking UX Portfolio PowerPlay, what I've used for experienced UX designers, and I've streamlined it and organized it and created it to speak directly to what you need as a new UX designer looking to land your first UX role. And it is UX Portfolio PowerPlay, land your first UX role. It's a 3-week program. It will be a course, but for this first round, it'll be a group coaching program, which will have similar deliverables as UX Portfolio PowerPlay, which means weekly group coaching calls with me and actual cohort style. So you'll make some friends, make some connections even through this round, and office hours. And it's just going to be awesome. So if you're interested, email me at amanda@uxhustle.org. And again, for both of these programs, spots are going to go really fast. So get on the wait list for UX Portfolio PowerPlay. Email me for UX Portfolio PowerPlay landing your first UX role. And hit me up on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever your social media flavor is. And I'd love to talk with you and learn more about where you're at in your career and how I can help.
Thank you for listening to the UX Hustle Podcast. To continue these conversations, you can follow us on Instagram at the UX Hustle or join our Slack community through the link in our show notes. If you love this episode, please write a review and subscribe.